When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I was on a road trip to meet up with a best friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a couple years. He had just bought a home in Montana, so it was a great excuse to hang out for a while and catch up on life. The drive was 10 hours from where I lived, and due to work schedules, I ended up leaving home at 8 p.m. to drive overnight and arrive sometime around 6 a.m. I was tired from having worked the whole day before leaving, and being alone on the road made it hard to keep my eyes open. I knew it was going to be a struggle, but after a few hours of driving, I was struggling much more than I'd anticipated. By 1 a.m., it was becoming dangerous how sleepy I was getting, so I was going to pull over at the next town and find a parking lot to rest in for a few hours. But as I continued driving, there was nothing but road for miles and miles. I must have fully dozed off, because the next thing I knew, I was halfway in a ditch slamming on my brakes. Thankfully, I had woken up in time to stop from hitting any trees or causing serious damage to my car, but I was way off the side of the road. After taking a moment to collect myself, I got out and assessed the situation. It was very dark outside, with only the headlights from my car providing light, but the situation did not look good. I had veered a few feet off the road into a steep ditch that separated the road from the woods. I stepped onto the road and looked all the way down in both directions, but it was completely dark both ways, no signs of anything nearby. Still trying to keep myself calm, I went back to my car and tried to reverse out of the ditch, but it wouldn't even budge. The angle my car was in, my back tires had no traction at all. I pulled out my phone, and by some miracle, I had one bar of service. I called 911, and though the connection was choppy, I got the message across. They said they could have an officer with a winch down to help me in about 2 hours. I waited in my car for a while, looking between the road and the empty woods around me, getting kind of creeped out the more I thought of how remote I was. After 30 minutes, I laid back in my seat and tried to catch some sleep. Unfortunately, the whole situation had me too shaken to fall asleep, though. I sat up and looked around again, not seeing any lights on the road. But just before I looked away, I barely made out a shape on the other side of the road. Just 20 or 30 feet from my car, a truck was parked with all of its lights off. I never heard or saw them pull up, but I knew they weren't there before. It was too dark to see any details, but I knew the police would have had their lights on for sure. So why was this truck stopped out here, right by me in the middle of nowhere, with all of its lights off? I stared at it for at least 5 minutes, not seeing any movement or signs of someone being inside it. A chill ran through me, and I decided to call the police for an update on their location, but as I turned and reached back for my phone, a figure was standing at my passenger window. They were peering into my car, looking directly at me. His soulless eyes showed that he had no intent to help me. The shock of it all had me frozen in fear. The man then walked around my car and stared at me again through my window. Seeing him just a foot away from me, with only the thin glass between us, was the most terrified I'd ever felt. The man tested the door handle a couple times before saying something under his breath and hitting the window in frustration. He turned around and called something out in a different language, like he was telling someone to do something. He then turned back and started looking through the other windows. I was in a complete panic, breathing heavily and preparing for whatever was to happen next. But then I heard and saw the truck speeding away. The man by my car looked over like he was surprised and ran up to the road. After a second, he immediately sprinted past my car and disappeared in the woods. Moments later, I saw flashing red and blue lights coming up in the distance. I told the officer what had happened, but of course the man and whoever was in the truck had gotten away with no evidence left behind, other than the eerie shoe prints leading into the woods. All in all, I made it to my friend's house safely afterwards, but there have not been any updates on the men. I think I'd barely gotten away just moments before something terrible. I took up a job at a popular pizza restaurant last year for evening shifts after school. I just wanted some money to pay for my bad eating habits, and this was a familiar place, so I didn't think twice about taking the job. It was a chill place to work, and most of the other workers were students like me. This happened on one of my Friday shifts, and it still has been the only strange occurrence that's happened to me on the job. I had just picked up a couple orders to deliver and got in the car to start heading to the first address. On busy nights, we usually grab multiple orders and deliver them in one drive to save time, so this was nothing unusual. I typed in the first address and started the 10-minute drive. It was just past 10 p.m., so the roads were bare and I was able to relax a bit. It's worth mentioning that I didn't live in a huge city, but rather a smaller and older town, so most of the houses were beat up and old, but it was normal for the area. When I pulled up to the address, it was just as all the others looked. It was a small one-story home with overgrown bushes around it. I got the pizza and walked up to the porch, knocking and waiting for them to answer. I gave it a couple minutes before I called the customer's cell phone they had provided, but it went straight to voicemail. They still had to pay, so I couldn't leave it on the porch for them, and after waiting for nearly 5 minutes, I got back in my car and searched up the next address. Right as I read it, though, it was weirdly familiar. It was on the same street, but looking around, this street didn't seem to have any other houses on it. There was another road connecting to it, but I could clearly see that there was a barricade blocking it off. After searching the address on multiple direction apps, I got the same answer, which was that it was down that dead-end road. I drove my car up to the barricade, which was just a couple cones with a wooden beam running between them, and far off in my headlights, I could see another house. I looked again at the barricade, and it wasn't clear whether it was an official roadblock or just a homemade thing they set up to keep solicitors or through traffic away. I pulled out my phone and called the customer, which, even weirder, was the same number as the previous order, but this time, they answered.
Hey, I have a pizza delivery for you, but the address I have is blocked off.
The man responded charismatically, apologizing and telling me to just lift the wooden beam off the cones and drive down the road. He went on about annoying people mistaking his driveway for a public road and apologized once more before hanging up. Reluctantly, I lifted up the wooden beam and laid it flat on the ground, then drove up the gravel driveway. Pulling up, I saw one light was on downstairs, and a figure was in the window looking through the curtains. I got out and gave a short wave to them as I walked up. The figure moved away from the window, going toward the front door as I approached the house. When I got to the porch, I waited for them to open the door, knowing they saw me coming up, but after 30 seconds, I gave it a knock. Still, nobody answered. I started to get a little uneasy and felt a weird, uncomfortable sense. I stepped back and called the customer, but this time it went straight to voicemail again. I don't know if it was me being paranoid or some sixth sense I was getting, but I got this urge to go right back to my car and drive away. As I got back to the end of the driveway, I had to floor my brakes. The wooden beam was set back up again on the cones, blocking the road. I quickly got out and knocked it over, jumping back in my car and driving out of there. If things weren't freaky enough, while I pulled out of the road, I saw the flicker of headlights turn on behind me, following for several minutes until I got onto the main road. From what I could see, they never left the neighborhood. When I got back to the restaurant, I told my manager, who called the police for me, which I admittedly wouldn't have done. Still, nothing was found. It did turn out that the two homes the pizzas were ordered to were vacant, empty houses that weren't even for sale or anything. To this day, I don't know if it was just some sick joke with no harm intended, or if they were plotting some gruesome attack, but thankfully my instinct saved me from having to find that out. I drive a van for work, delivering products to a few family-owned stores around my city. On a night just 4 months ago, I was driving my route between three stores to do some after-hour deliveries. It was about 11 p.m., and I had just finished the last delivery for the night. From there, the warehouse I had to drop the van off was 30 minutes away. I drove for maybe 5 minutes, until a car pulled up behind me at an intersection. There were no other cars out, just me and them. When the light turned green, I started driving, and it wasn't until a few more minutes down the road that I realized they were still right behind me. I was in a big, slow van, so most people would just go around me, but they didn't. I wasn't worried or anything, but it was odd. As we continued driving, their headlights steadily got brighter and brighter until they were so close that the light was being blocked by the back of my van. They had to be just a foot or two away from my bumper. The lane next to us was open, so they could easily just go around, but instead, they chose to tailgate me, which then started making me nervous. I slowed down to a stop sign and was going to turn just to get away from them, but just as I stopped, the car behind me bumped into my van. The crash wasn't bad, but it was enough to shake the whole van and push me forward a bit, which I knew had to cause some damage. I put my van in park and unbuckled, about to get out to see the damage, but a man was already at my window. He was smiling and motioning to talk to me. I opened the door, and as I stepped out, I saw two more guys at the back of my van, both looking at me. The man started to give excuses as we walked over to look at the bumper, but it became obvious that he was very drunk. His words were hard to make out, and he didn't seem very bothered about crashing into me at all. The other guys looked intoxicated too, just from how they were moving, but I didn't know for sure. My van and his car looked a lot worse than I thought. I asked the man for his insurance and went to get mine, but when I got back, I realized none of them had moved. I asked again for his insurance, but all of them just looked at me without saying anything. There was this moment of me looking at them as they stared at me in silence before my heart started racing. I turned to run back to my van, but instantly, I heard all of their footsteps coming up behind me. I didn't even make it to the door before one of them grabbed me and shoved me against the side of the van. The one holding me was making threats while the others went back and forth, piling up everything in their car. After a minute of having my head pressed against the side, he shoved me away and started forcing me to walk toward their car. The other guys finished taking what they could and got in the car, telling the man behind me to hurry up as he opened the back door and tried pushing me into the back seat. I knew that if I let him get me in that car, I would likely never be seen again. I put all of my strength into fighting back, doing everything I could to make it as difficult as possible to get me inside. After a 20-second struggle, he tossed me away and got in himself. Then they drove off. I got up and ran to get my phone from the center console, then called the police. The men who attacked me couldn't be identified, and still haven't been, and it was hard to say if it was a one-time drunk attack, or something they had done before. What they plan to do by bringing me in the car with them is also a mystery, but I think we all know what would have been the most likely outcome.